hope you enjoy this message from Eastside C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
Killed it. Now, happened. Okay, so Calvin's going to share many other cool things about David, but this is a moment, if you don't know the story of David, where there's actually a guy who is kind of leading a rebel group in Israel at the moment, and for some reason, he found himself, well, for many reasons probably, he's found himself sitting with the people group he's always seen as his enemy, and sitting with, living with Philistines. And these are the enemies of Israel. But he's living with them, and then he's even gone to battle with them, but they've rejected him because David is a known warrior and is a super dangerous dude to be fighting with his enemies like as a support. That doesn't make sense. So they were like, get out of here, David. We don't want you and your men fighting alongside us. We don't trust you. And it was probably for good reason too. And so David and his men, they have come back to the wee village they were living in, and they've come back to Ziklag, and they've found something terrible. This is like one of the low points for David. And so if you'll read with me from 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1. It says, now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day. So they've come back from being rejected by the warriors they were going to fight with. No, we don't want you, David, and your men. Go away. So they left. And the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and attacked Ziklag and burnt it with fire and had taken captive the woman and those who were from there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone but carried them away and they went their way. This is a bad scenario. You come home with your small metal, your militia, army militia group, and you come home to find your place ransacked, burned with fire, and everything you own has been taken, your livestock, and more tragically, your wife, your wives in this scenario for some reason, and your kids. Devastating. And the men are devastated. So they came to the city, and there it was burnt with fire, and their wives and sons and their daughters have been taken captive. Then David and the people whom were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam and the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David, he was greatly distressed, for they spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. I can get that. Like, you're in a really bad scenario, possibly the worst one you could imagine, to have your family taken captive. I don't know how many of you guys have seen the Liam Neeson movies called Taken, but when you get kidnapped, it's a bad scenario. You know, it's not ideal. And the handy thing for Liam Neeson is he's got a particular set of skills. And so he was able to get back his daughter. If you know the movie, it's quite, interesting. If you haven't seen it, don't watch it. It's not worth it. But anyway, it gets worse. Because David, he's rallied around himself quite accidentally a group of people who aren't exactly professionals, but they are literally a guerrilla group, a militia-type warfare group who have gathered around him, and they're just a bit pissed off. They're not that stoked. And next minute, they're also saying, hey, this is probably David's leadership. David did this to us, and we want to stone him. We want to smash him. We want to have him killed. And so David not only is dealing with his wives being taken, slaves, but he's now also dealing with his men who are so upset that they feel like they need to do something about it, and maybe killing David will help. So David was greatly distressed. And the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of the people was grieved, and every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And this is where I just want to sit for a moment here. You see, as you look at the story of David, and as we'll be looking at it further next week, David was a man who knew God. And this text says something really profound This text, if you could just jump back one, if it's easy to do. It says that David strengthened himself in the Lord, but not only that, David strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. Now, I want to ask you a question tonight. You may have heard about the Lord. You may have heard about the word God and the word Lord or the word Jesus and these names for God. But here's what is the difference between somebody who falls apart when everything else is falling apart around them and somebody who's able to somehow stand with a little bit of strength. Someone who knows not only about God, but knows the Lord to be their God. You see, he doesn't only know about God because he has a whakapapa that goes back and tells the story of what God's done throughout the history, but he's developed an intimate relationship with God that says, he is my God, not just the God of my ancestors, not just the God that I've heard about, not just their God, but he strengthens himself because God is his God. And that's the difference. That is the defining moment. And I tell you that it's not in moments of struggle that you're going to do this. It's not in moments of struggle that you'll naturally think, okay, all right, God, now I'm going to start developing a relationship with you. It's not that. David had spent his entire life becoming intimate with God. And the Psalms he wrote, they come all the way back to as he's a shepherd, all the way through to the end of his life. And he's writing these prayers of intimacy about him and his God, because he has a relationship with his God, and his revelation about who God is to him is through an intimate relationship. And so first and foremost, as people in this room tonight, as people sitting in a church tonight, I'm going to assume that we've all heard about God. And if you haven't, tonight you have. Here you go. God is good. He's the king, he's the boss. Some people call him Jehovah, some people call him Yahweh, some people call him, I don't know, all sorts of names. And there's Jesus. Jesus is God in the flesh, and he's the man. So now you heard about God. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Here it is. But is he your God? And when it's all falling apart around you, does it all come back to God is my God, and in him I can do this? If we can jump through to Matthew chapter 7, please. Matthew 7, the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus presents this reality. And he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to him in that day, hey God, hey Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and we did many wonders in your name. And he will declare to them, I didn't know you, I never actually knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And so I'm bringing this scripture in context of what is happening to David right now. Is because David didn't just know about God and know about what God had done amongst his ancestors. He didn't just talk about it. He didn't just sort of like refer to it and use that as a bit of a support to him. He knew his God. He knew his God. And so the difference between somebody who talks about God and knows God is a relationship. And Jesus says in the end time, it's not going to be what did you do? It's did I know you? Did I know you? And then the following verse, Matthew 7, there it is. So, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall because it was founded on a rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came up, the winds blew and beat on that house and it fell, and great was the fall. Now, this is not specifically talking about how to build your specific whare, but it's about what you build your life upon. Now, this is a moment, I would say, for David, where everything's falling apart around him. The winds are blowing. The rain's descended. The water's come up. Everything has gone wrong that could have gone wrong for David. Not only has his family been taken, but his men now want to kill him. But he's standing on a rock. He's standing on a rock because he knows his God. He's standing on a rock because he's got a relationship with his God. And so the Bible says that he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. There is strength to be found in him. In this life, you are guaranteed to have trouble. Jesus said that. He says, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And he promises you peace. Giving you peace. And so you can strengthen yourself. And not just knowing about God, but because you know him. The psalm says that he's extremely close in times of trouble. God is our refuge and our strength. He's our refuge and our strength, and he's very close in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Because he's super close. He is super close in times of trouble. If David didn't know God, in that moment, he would quite easily have seen, this is God getting back at me. I've made a mistake. He's paying me back. This is from God. Therefore, I might as well give up. My life is over. But he knew his God, and he knew his God had made promises to him. He knew his God was faithful. And so what he does next, if we can go back to 1 Samuel in your Bibles. He strengthens himself in the Lord his God, and he says to Abiathar the priest, Amalekite's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. And so David inquired of the Lord. In the Old Testament, they used to use like this middleman to sort of communicate with God. They'd have a priest in the priestly garments, and there was just a way to communicate, to engage with God. But we have a great high priest, Jesus. And so our way to the Father is now through an ephod, which I think is a type of garment, a priestly garment. But we now come in with boldness through Jesus Christ. Our way into relationship now is not through the high priest of the Old Testament and through sacrifice, but through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. And he is now our high priest, and now we come to him. And so in times of trouble, as David, our hero, strengthens himself in the Lord, his God, will you come to your God through Jesus Christ? In times of trouble, will you find yourself coming to God? You see, for someone who doesn't actually know God, but sometimes knows a little bit about him, what we tend to do is be a bit religious, and so we think that God's waiting for us to be good enough. And yet when we make mistakes and errors, when we don't know God, instead of going to him for mercy and grace, because that's who he is, we run away from him. You see, David, because he knew his God, in this moment of tragedy, he comes to God. And he strengthens himself in his God because he knows his God. And then he doesn't just leave it there, but he comes and he says, God, what do we do? What do we do? What's your opinion here? And so if you know the story, you'll know that he pursued. God's like, hey, go for it. Go get back what was taken from you. And he goes and he pursues them, and he overcomes this raiding group with his men. And it's amazing sort of story of God reconciling. They come back with more stuff because they stole from the stealers. Anyway, things rolled different back then, guys. Don't go doing stealing from stealers. Don't rob from a thief. It doesn't, you know. Two negatives don't make a positive, I don't think. But anyway, I'm not good at math, so that doesn't matter. But what I want to present to y'all tonight is everything David did as a hero was because he knew his God. When he strengthened himself, it didn't just strengthen himself in the memories of and the stories of his ancestors. He strengthened himself because he knew his God. And when he writes another psalm about when he reflects on the way God is, he says, the Lord, he is my personal shepherd. And this is another reflection of the way he saw his God. It's not he's the shepherd of the flock of Israel, because he could have said that and it'd be accurate. But David had this radical revelation that others didn't, that God is my shepherd. And it's moments like that where you realize that he's personally your shepherd. is that in moments like this where everything's falling apart and you may have done nothing to deserve it, it doesn't make sense, but you can strengthen yourself in the Lord because he is your God. If I could have the band up, I'm pretty much done. But I want to encourage you tonight. The whole purpose of looking at this hero series is not so we can lift up certain people on pedestals and say, be like them. What I'm saying is know God like they knew them, like they knew him. If we can know our God as David did, we can face a giant. If we know God how David did, then we can face the trouble that comes against us and we can seek him and strengthen ourselves in him. You do not need to be overcome by the trouble that comes against you because it will. Because he has overcome the world. Jesus, the fulfillment of every promise God made to Israel and to this nation, coming in and standing here as he came to the world and he walked as a man and he took the punishment and the error of every single person upon himself on the cross. He has made a way for us to know our God. We don't need to seek the priest with an ephod and make sacrifice to him because Jesus made the way. Jesus made the way so that we can seek him and say, he is my God because he calls me his child. And he calls to each one of us. And he says, would you come to me? My journey with Christ has been one of ups and downs and moments of brilliance and moments of terribleness. Oh, seriously. I mean, if you want to see an example of a Christian who's made some great mistakes, look here, guys. I've made some terrible mistakes. I was brought up as a Christian. And I knew Jesus really well. And I got to this age in my life where I actually despised what I knew about Jesus and about God as a young man because it gave me this conscience. I didn't want that. I wanted to do what I wanted when I wanted. And so I ran away from God. But God didn't like run away from me. He didn't turn his back on me. He could have, he should have, in fact. It would have been just because I knew about him, but I turned my back on him. But he gently, over a couple of year period, he called me back. And he wasn't calling me back to make me feel bad about my sin. But he called me back because he loved me. He called me back because he cared about me. He called me back because he saw that I was getting caught up in the stuff that wasn't even good for me. And God's actually calling us because he's got something amazing for our life. He's got an amazing purpose and a plan for your life. Each one of us. If he's got a plan for a smelly bogan from New Brighton, guilty. Seriously, he can do something with y'all. I didn't have much to offer, just a rebellious heart. And he transforms rebellious hearts. And he can do so much more with a willing heart, which he is doing with me now because Jesus is good. But he wants to be your God. He wants to be your God, not just our God, not just their God, because he is that. He is their God, he is our God, but he wants to be known as God, you are my God. And in moments when everything is falling apart, that you stand on this revelation that becomes a rock because you know him. You don't just know about him. And the revelation that comes through Jesus in Matthew, which says that you'll build your life on a rock, will become your revelation where he says, yes, I stand on the teachings of Jesus, knowing that I am in Christ because of him, knowing that I can stand in the truth of who Jesus calls me to, and I can know God, I can have a relationship with the Father, and I stand on this rock, and although the storm will come, although trials will come, he is my God, and I know my God, and my God knows me. That's the difference. I'm not just trying to perform, not just trying to talk about the Lord because he's gangster, but I want to know him. I want to know him. And so if we could just bow our heads in this place tonight, just for a moment, I just want to pray for you. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you right now. Every person in this place, it's just... If you're anything like me, sometimes you go around in circles and you get caught up in the religious game, I guess. talking about God, saying the prayers, reading the Bible. Sometimes we just forget that God just simply wants us to know Him. And often it's actually really tough things that come upon us that drive us back to say, God, I just want to know You. I don't want to just be seeking the hand of God, but I want to seek Your face and know You. Just in this place, perhaps you're like me and you've been finding yourself drifting, and it's not so much about God, You are my God, but oh, He's our God, He's their God. Right here in this place, just let the Holy Spirit touch you. Speak into your heart right now. Let Him draw you back to Himself. That you would know that He is your God, your personal God. Lord, remind us of how intimate You are with each one of us. How You could be intimate and loving with a shepherd boy and a rebel army leader, Lord. God, and we can have the revelation that You are simply more, You are more than just our God, but You are my God. Right here in this place, Lord, draw us near. That in everything we go through, in every season, in every storm, we can know that You are our God and find our strength in You, Lord God, and stand as heroes of faith because of who You are and because we know You.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.